someone was sharing pain. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
Hey, this is Ben Tankard of Destiny Center Church over in Murfreesboro. Thank you guys for tuning in to hear my good friend Sharon Kay right here on What's the 411. She is my favorite talk show host. Y'all know that's my auntie, right?
I love you too. I'm the fam. Everybody. Hello, Nashville. All of our lovely, lovely people in the city and the global family listening online at WFSKFM.org. As some of you have said or texted to tell me or sent an email that you're listening in the other counties on your way home as you leave Davidson. You're listening on the streaming on your in your car and your Bluetooth. So that's what's up. And we are so happy to have you finding us on the dial and tuning in on this, the very, very last Wednesday in the month of July, winding down this month is just a few, very, very few days left. And, oh boy, you know, August already rolling up and the year, everybody's like, 2020's not gone yet. Not yet. But the way it's going, it won't be long. And as before, I began to pull the cord and get the lawnmower started this afternoon. How are you?
Excellent. And yourself?
Well, I am just simply divine.
Okay.
And happy to be still standing and taking in air and all the things, you know, and the Father's on the throne, you know, all that stuff.
Yes.
I am good. This afternoon on the show, we have news from the community that I'll be getting in just a couple of seconds. Two books today, one at 4:30 and then another one at 5 o'clock. And this is the show that you actually are, you know, you learn stuff, surprise. This is an empowerment and encouragement show. So I'm very heavy on authors and heavy on professionals and academia and clinicians and folks that are working for mankind to help one another. So today's 4:30 book is entitled The Flying Cutter Bucks by Catherine M. Roger. And her novel, latest novel, is on family, friends, and forgiveness. And that forgiveness thing is tough as nails. So we'll be discussing that in the book. And at 5 o'clock, Brandy Colbert wrote The Voting Booth, Make It Count. And, you know, I had to ask her when I chatted earlier this week that, or last week, whenever it was, is she Colbert like Stephen?
Yeah.
Or is she Colbert? And she laughed. She said, no, I'm not a Colbert. I'm just a regular
Colbert.
Yeah. I am what it is. Having said that, her book is coming up in the next hour. She's an award-winning author of children's and teens books, and this one tackles her latest on teen relationships and activism, and rips straight from the headlines, The Voting Booth, Make It Count. Now, right now, I'm happy to Welcome to the broadcast. Our brand new, newly minted president of the NAACP, Ms. Cheryl Gwynn. And madam, how are you this afternoon?
Sharon, how are you?
I am so delighted to get to talk to you. You have so many capacities that you serve the community in, and this is very exciting. So thank you for being able to talk to us today. And I know ever since you have taken over the helm at the NAACP, you obviously hit the ground running, I'm sure, right?
Like Speedy Gonzalez. Oh my goodness. I haven't had a chance to look, see straight, or look back, or turn. No, nothing.
Well, and I'm glad that you have the energy to do it, because this is one of those kind of positions that in service to the community that is almost like a round the clock thing, right?
Yes, it's a lot of work.
Now, how long?
Non-stop.
Oh, how long have you, when did you officially take over as president?
Oh, goodness, your guess is about as good as mine. It was right in the middle of June, I believe.
Okay.
Because I know we were about 3 weeks out from early voting when I started. Yeah, that was a lot of work.
I know it was. And I think I've had you on before for when you were working with Ms. Hambrick and the Hambrick family, and also when you ran for office too, right?
Right. I think I didn't do as much work with the Hambrick family, through the NAACP, because a good colleague of mine is also representing the Hambrick family, so I didn't want to take away from her shine.
No, absolutely not. And if I could think of who it is, I'd get her shine on here.
Sure.
I have so many people
Joy
that... Joy. I have so many people that I interview in the course of a year, you know. If I can remember how to get the key card out and get in this building, I'm well. Because it's a lot. Now, you ran for office a year or so ago?
Yes, in 2018.
Okay. And from that, you garnered a lot of support in the community, name recognition, and you knew the players of the game. So, I'm happy that you are at the helm of the NAACP, and you all have a lovely initiative that you're working on. The NAACP has long stood against people who tried to block voting and voting suppression, and was always a champion for voting rights. So, Cheryl, tell us, please, what all is going on now.
Oh, great. So right now we are pushing early voting. Mm-hmm. The big thing, of course, early voting began on July the 17th and will run through August the 1st. And, of course, early voting is the time where you can vote at any polling location, but you do have to have a proper identification to go in. So, of course, your voter's registration card, your driver's license, your state ID, things of that nature. But at least it gives you the freedom to be able to go anywhere. All the polling locations are open until, I believe, it's 4:30 or 5 o'clock each day. And you're able to go in and cast your vote, and then you're done. So then, of course, Election Day is on August the 6th. And so the NAACP is also pushing absentee voting. Mm-hmm. So you have to have your absentee ballot requested by tomorrow.
Ooh.
You have to request it by tomorrow. I know. And so then, of course, you have to have it mailed in in time enough for the election. But please request that early voting ballot so that you can get that in. And if you can't, absentee voting ballot, excuse me,
right.
I misspoke. Please request that absentee ballot as quickly as you can, and then go on and cast that vote. If you are unable to get that absentee ballot requested, then please go to any of the early voting locations and cast your vote.
Well, and I think that's the same. Wasn't this form available online as well as a downloadable fill-in form?
Yes, it is downloadable online, okay. But you cannot fill it out. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought that you had to only mail it in by a paper copy. I'm not aware that they will accept it through submitting it online, but you can download it to fill it out and then mail it in to the election
commission. Well, that would certainly save somebody some time in the 11th hour, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Print it out.
Definitely.
And, you know, use your pen and fill it out. You know, it's not that extensive. It shouldn't take you long. Put it in the envelope and, you know, stamps are, what, 40-something cents, whatever, and mail it and buy. It's gone. Now, were you all surprised at how Tennessee and the Secretary of State's office, et cetera, kind of drug their legs or feet on, you know, this process? The Secretary of State was kind of iffy about it at first. And then, you know, as the pandemic numbers started rising, more and more people certainly did feel the need for getting this done. And that was probably a relief to organizations like the NAACP, correct?
That is correct. I mean, anytime that the powers that be see that something as severe and significant and how it impacted all of Nashville is going on, and then they still can't make the decision and finalize something that's going to make it easy for everyone to vote, then that goes back to the other laws that have already previously been passed that just make things difficult for us to get to the polls.
Right.
I remember at first when they were asking for people to have a specific type of ID in order to be able to cast their vote. That was looked at as voter suppression as well, because there are several people who may not have those IDs. It's very difficult for them to get to them, and especially in our less populated or rural areas, then you know, some people are even born at home and don't have the correct documentation to even be able to qualify for any of those IDs. So when you look at who that affects across the board, who that affects most, it's usually people who are of black and brown hue. It is so that affects the numbers and their ability and also their desire to try to make their voices heard. So when you have that type of thing that has already been set into place, and then you have now a huge pandemic that's in place that's affecting black and brown people disproportionately to those of other hues, it does make you wonder, what are they thinking?
Right.
But I guess we should know that what they're thinking, considering that they, you know, certain organizations and groups that may have some power and influence have always tried to keep people from voting. And so, you know, and they've always been selective with that. I think that process should be selective instead of inclusive. That's never the way that this should be happening. You can't just have the few governing the masses.
That's true.
Not how this should work. If that's how you want it to work, then have a monarchy. If that's how you want it to work, have a dictatorship. Don't have a democracy.
Right.
Because it works differently for a democracy.
Well, and that is really shameful that all these years later, we have the right and people are still trying to come up with 1,000 ways of blocking the vote. And as I started to see that unfold across the nation, it was as if to say, you want to vote that bad, then, you know, it's almost like throw yourself under the bus and let us run over the top of you.
Because exactly.
There's no regard whatsoever for, as I'm watching this global health crisis play out, it just seems as though this is not the time for dirty pool. You know, people are dying, and in record numbers in this country and around the world, and we are trying our level best to do what is our right as citizens to do, and that is to vote.
Exactly.
Why, you know, it doesn't make any sense why folks would, you know, Well, I guess if they're you plot evil, then that's evil is as evil does. You know,
well, that and they want to be in control.
Yeah.
Their position is that their control is the only control that matters.
Right.
So, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, then you understand, okay, they know that I'll have too much power if I exercise my right to vote.
Right.
So hopefully that encourages people to continue to exercise that
absolutely
right that's there.
Absolutely. Well, I will tell you, I voted early. And
good.
Honey, I wasn't going to talk to you all about this topic and not do it.
you're not getting in trouble on this, huh?
No, see, nobody's going to say, oh, you don't. No, that was a lie. I voted in every election, and those people at the early voting place know it, and I got all my stickers and everything. I don't play when it comes to this because I don't want anybody trying to take my stuff from me. I earned the right to have it. My parents insisted when we turned 18, when we were living at home, that we do that. And I've done it, and, you know, I vowed to myself, I can't get on the radio and do campaigns and promote voting, and I'm not doing it. I mean, you know, that's like fake. And I just refuse to go down the phony aisle. I'm not going. So I did it, let's see, I think it was Saturday. And, you know, different states, Cheryl, have different experiences and handling things and stuff differently.
Uh-huh.
It was just a couple of people in front of me, and you know, everybody had their mask on. They had the library laid out where it was distanced, and you know, if it was long line, you had somewhere to sit distanced, and it was completely utterly organized.
Okay.
Yes. Oh,
I'm glad
yes.
You had a good experience.
Oh, most definitely. I was very impressed with how clean and sanitary everything was. So, wait, let's take a time out, because for folks that are sitting at home, knee knocking and teeth chattering, don't you know? Just y'all need to calm down sometime. That's why I wanted to experience it myself, so I can say, oh, okay, I went at the right time. It's nothing for me to be scared of, because they done thought through all the stuff. And I'm going to describe a little bit of it when I get back. And then I want you to remind the audience that you all are doing rides to the polls and certain things, etc. So hold on 1 second. We're going to take this time out. Do we have a traffic report coming? Commander Chuck will be giving us the eye on the sky, the 411, take you home traffic, get you there in one piece. Aha, now you know that's how you want to get there. Let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's busy, but it's not the worst you've ever seen it here on the South Loop or the West Loop. Now, there's a crash. It's 40 eastbound between OHB and Charlotte Pike. Of course, the heaviest flow is going westbound, headed back out towards Dixon County. 65 northbound near Old Hickory Boulevard in Madison, moving that crash to the right-hand side. This traffic report is brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We've marched. We've protested. Now it's election time, and it's your time to make a change. The NAACP is counting on you to vote because it is important and we need to make a difference. Early voting will continue until Saturday, August 1st. Early voting polls are open Monday through Saturday at 8 a.m. The polls close on Mondays and Fridays at 5:30 p.m., on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m., and on Wednesday and Saturday at 4:30 p.m. This message is brought to you by the NAACP Nashville branch. Let's go to the polls in record numbers. If you have problems at the polls, call 615-329-0999 to make a report. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville. It is Wednesday. Last one. Five of them this month. Last one in July. And then before you know it, you know, we'll be talking about fall and that's all y'all, because it's going to start getting cold in, what, October, November? So we have a couple more months of summer and all that. I'll talk about the weather here shortly. And Commander Chuck will be back with us in about 20 so minutes to give you a traffic update. Now, with me this afternoon, and I'm very happy to speak to the president of the NAACP Nashville branch, and that is Attorney Cheryl Quinn. And she has been sharing information on encouraging you all to that haven't voted to please do it. And this election being as special as it is because we have a pandemic and issues involving that. So before I finish my story about my what I did, how I voted, could you, we've got some key dates coming up, attorney, and I want you to give those key dates because they're coming soon. And yes. I do mean soon. So tell us more, please.
Sure. So early voting will end on August the 1st. And so early voting is at certain specific locations, mm-hmm. and the early voting locations are open. I'm sorry, early voting is ending on August the 1st, uh-huh. and then Election Day is on August the 6th.
Uh-huh.
So the early voting locations are open Monday through Saturday. Early voting is on Mondays and Fridays. They're open from 8 to 5:30. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're open from 8 to 7 p.m. And then on Wednesdays and Saturdays, they're open from 8 to 4:30 p.m. Uh-huh. So those are our two key dates as far as that are coming up pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also the deadline for submitting your absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm.
The deadline for submitting your requesting your absentee ballot is by July the 30th. And then you need to have that in for the August the 6th election day. You have the deadline to request is July the 30th, and then you have to have your ballot turned in before August the 6th election day.
Okay, so if they haven't asked, I mean, tomorrow's the 30th.
Tomorrow is the 30th. So if you have not requested your absentee ballot by mail, then definitely please go to the website.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot I had the website information.
Okay,
go
ahead.
The Election Commission website, and that is at nashville.gov/election-commission.
Okay.
Go to that website, and you will see a list of everything from tips on voting during the COVID-19 pandemic mm-hmm. to absentee ballot requests. So on the website, you can actually download or even print out
mm-hmm.
that ballot. But you absolutely must mail that ballot in to the Election Commission for it to count.
Hmm. So it has to be postmarked.
Yes,
okay.
It has to be postmarked.
All right. And for some of you guys that have envelopes and things at your house, but still use the mail, you know how to get it out there. If you live in a place where the mailman comes by, and, you lift up the flag on your mailbox and they'll take it with them. and you don't really have to leave the comfort of your home unless you just want to. Now, how are you all as the NAACP organization, both locally, statewide, and nationally, how are you going to keep your eyes on this process? Because our state, it doesn't go through pandemics during every election.
Right. So one thing that we definitely depend on are for people to contact the branch with anything that they are seeing and what things that may have happened to them, because we do have the ability to make sure and hold the election commission or to hold the state of Tennessee and even Davidson County accountable for their voting practices. So we depend on people to report to us what things have happened. And then, of course, we will be at different polling locations as well. So once we are there, we are there sometimes handing out water. We are there, you know, talking to people and encouraging them to come out, I'm sorry, not to come out to vote, to encourage their other family members or friends to come out to vote, not just them voting, but them to encourage others. So when we're out and talking to people in the community, we're finding out things that may be happening at times that we may not necessarily have been there or have seen anything. But our branch will be open and we'll be taking calls as far as things that may be happening at the polling locations. And, you know, if we have to take, if action is needed to be taken, we are prepared to take action.
Excellent. And I know that you all are, and I'm so glad that you're vigilant and eyes wide open 24/7. You all know, no one advocates, they know, don't, you can't rest. You just cannot. You have to always keep your eyes on the prize. And, and lastly, one of the things I want to ask you before I let you get back to the rest of your day is, does the NAACP have any thoughts they want to share on the legacy of losing two civil rights icons on the same day, and both with a connection to Nashville?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Both of those men were absolute living legends during their time. I mean, John Lewis and Reverend Dr. C.T. Vivian, words escape me on how much they have meant, not only to the NAACP, but to Nashville as a whole. Mm-hmm. Their actions during the sit-ins, the Freedom Rides, their working with Dr. King, and even just after Dr. King passed away, continuing that legacy was absolutely phenomenal. These men were incomparable in their accomplishments, and we cannot say thank you to them enough, but we thank, and we definitely thank them for all that they have done. They were the ones that instructed and are our icons for how to carry out and how to advocate for others. We learned everything that we needed to do in this modern age of protesting and advocating and using legal resources to get things accomplished from them. And their tenacity is simply unmatched. They never stopped. It didn't matter if there were health issues. It didn't matter what the weather was. It didn't matter who was discouraging or who did not support them. They continued what they knew to be the good fight. And we thank them. We thank their families for supporting them through all of what they went through, because there's no way in the world that was easy. There's no way in the world that that was easy to understand at all times, especially for spouses. So we thank them for allowing their mates to come and to show us what should happen, and even putting themselves in harm's way for us. I mean, I just don't know how else to express the gratitude that I have for them.
Absolutely. Well, and lastly, it is just really good to know that the organization, through its archives and history, has certainly got probably some kind of information or records on working with those two, and maybe at some point in the future we can circle back around with some folks that are part of the the old school portion of the NAACP and get some remembrances from them. And we would just love to be able to host that discussion and remembrance.
That would be great. Absolutely great.
Well, I'll get with you on that. As the day before the service, laid to rest service for him is tomorrow. For more information about the efforts at the NAACP on early voting and voting on election day, the best thing to do is call the office.
That would be the best. Our office number, of course, is 615-329-0999.
Okay, excellent.
And then we also have our website at the NAACPNashville.org.
Excellent.
NAACPNashville.org as well. But it's better to call the office for that information.
Okay. Thank you so much, Attorney Gwen, as the president of the Nashville branch of the NAACP. I will be in touch, and anything that WFSK or yours truly can personally do to help any of your efforts, call me anytime.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you so much for being a friend to the NAACP.
Oh, yes.
We cannot do this all without you, so yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And be sure to heed her advice today. And, you know, if you go online to those websites and get that information downloaded and try to do, you know, get your questions filled out on your ballot and do what you need to do and blah, 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 so you won't have any excuses. And, well, I didn't, and I forgot, and I should have. Because, see, this is, we're not in that era anymore where you can just forget, and I didn't, and they should have. That stuff is gone. And, you know, folk need to be so conscious and so aware right now. It is not funny. As we see things changing so rapidly around us, and they're not going in the direction that you would think that they would be going in 2020. Having said that, I wanted to just share, just at the end of what I was saying about my experience in the polls, you know, I had, you know, the one or two people in front of me, you know, everything was hand sanitized from the door to the through, and you didn't come in contact with stuff. You know, they had the straws, or the coffee stirrers for the stylus to touch the machines, and they gave you the pen. They laid the pen down on the ballot, and they slid it to you. I mean, there was none of the exchange of germs or whatever people would be concerned about. They were being very cautious and careful themselves because they don't want to have any problems. But there were a lot of people that were working. And I went to the one at the Hermitage Public Library. There were a lot of volunteers working at that particular early voting location. So big ups to all the volunteers out there who, pandemic or not, are still volunteering to make sure that the rest of us can exercise our rights to vote. Don't make any excuses. Get the job done. Now, having said that, and we thank Attorney Cheryl Gwen for her time representing the NAACP today. Now, this hour's book is a novel entitled The Flying Cutterbucks, and I have to say that correctly or else I won't give you the full title of the book, The Cutterbucks. And let me welcome today Kathleen M. Rogers. She is the author of Seven Wings to Glory, Johnny Come Lately, and The Final Salute, as well as a novelist who is well known to many for the types of books and issues that she covers inside her novels. And thank you so much. Kathleen, how are you today?
Hello, Sharon. I'm doing great. I'm calling in from North Texas.
Oh, my. Y'all are in the hotspot area. Oh.
Well, probably y'all may be more humid than we are here, but it's overcast today and
yeah,
can't complain, though.
Well, that's one hot spot, and the other one is the pandemic.
We got two
hot spots.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the pandemic. Oh my goodness. Yes,
definitely. Well, we are as well, but your state is so much bigger than this one. Now, Kathleen, I just want to say that, you know, you're so patient and so kind. You were originally scheduled to be on the show to talk about your book back in March, right around the time that the tornado hit. And it was like, we had to cancel.
I think it was, maybe then or sometime in June.
No, it was then, and then it was originally then, and then we pushed it to June. And then, you know, and then we weren't able to be here because of the pandemic. I was like, Lord, I've got to get this woman on here. There's too many things that just kept happening. And so I wanted to make sure that I got you in, because originally it was during, we had just had a deadly tornado in this area.
Right.
And it was like,
well, I'm very honored, especially, you know, Fisk University, where you're based at. You know, you've had a lot of famous people come through there. And, of course, you know, Congressman John Lewis, the late Congressman Lewis. I know his name was just mentioned. Such an honor to be talking to the radio station that's there at Fisk.
Yes, ma'am. University has blessed to have its own station, owned and operated since 1973. The oldest, not the oldest, but one of the oldest stations, continuous running stations in the city. Hasn't changed hands or owners. It stayed right here.
Wow, that's amazing.
In today's climate, yes, yes, yes. Anyway, thank you so much. And, you know, since you did mention that, Kathleen, that Fisk University is one of the institutions in Nashville where the late congressman graduated from. He also was a student at the American Baptist College, and then came on over to get his degree, 4-year degree here. So there was so much, he was steeped in so much civil rights advocacy and being around people who could teach him things and the logic and, you know, have that fire in the belly and the whole thing. I mean, it was just being between the two institutions and that volatile time that was. It was just really ideal for him to be here when he was. So I just saw an email from the president of the university that they're going to rename the social justice.
The Justice Center?
Yes. I didn't have it in front
of me. I read that today.
Yeah, isn't that lovely?
They're going to name it after him.
Yeah, yes. That's lovely. That is something that I know the students will be tickled about when they get back to campus, so that they can take part in having classes and et cetera. And there'll be a few trickling up here tomorrow, too, on the campus. Tomorrow they'll start trickling in. So,
wow.
I know. It's like, oh, my gosh. We missed
Scary
you all.
Time.
Oh, I know. We missed you all. Good Lord. It's the School of Justice. And we're just tickled to death here. We'll see how. And maybe if I can steal the president for 5 seconds one day and get him to talk more about that. Because his plate is like up to his eyeballs. Anyway, having said that, now, Kathleen, have you ever been to Nashville?
Yes, I've been to Nashville a couple of times back in the 70s. And then I think we've driven through. But I flew into Nashville. The first airplane ride. I'm a kid from New Mexico, is where I grew up. The first time I flew on an airplane was into Nashville.
Oh.
My sister ha- had moved to Cookeville and was going to college there in Cookeville.
Hmm.
So she drove to Nashville to pick me up, and she gave me a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee is a beautiful state.
It is.
And I haven't been back. I would love to come visit again. And I'm just delighted to be talking to you. And Nashville's an historic city.
Oh,
so
yes.
Much going on there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's sometimes a lot to keep up with. And that's,
I bet.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Anyway, when we get back from this time out, Kathleen, the Flying Cutter Bucks. And I'm like, okay. And I want to know more about the cover. I know you love,
okay,
you love Flight and the folks that have long served historically in it, the women. And I want to hear a little bit of the background on that before I start,
okay,
going into the book, okay?
Okay, so the title and the cover, I love the cover. Wyatt McKenzie is my publisher.
On. Kathleen, hold on 1 second. I need to get my traffic report in right quick. And just a quick timeout, and then we're going to come back in about 2 minutes, okay?
All
right, hold on 1 second. That is
okay.
Today's guest this hour, Kathleen M. Rogers. She has a new novel on family, friends, and forgiveness called The Flying Cutter Bucks. Let's take a timeout, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Some areas seeing some pretty good rain showers. The roads are wet up in Madison right now as you travel 65 northbound up past OHB all the way up to Vietnam Vets. At times, the interstate can run slow up through there. 4,000 block in Nolensville. Pike's one of the latest accidents. Two cars involved there. 200 block of Ezel Pike and finishing that wreck out there on 40 eastbound between OHB and Charlotte Pike. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This important message is being brought to you by NAACP Nashville Branch. We are counting on you to vote. Early voting ends August 1st. Election Day is August 6th. If you need a ride to the polls, call 615-329-0999. Again, call 615-329-0999. Let's vote. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
X, you know how you know how I be talking during
yeah,
the break, right?
Yeah.
I be yakety yak, yak, yakety yak. I need to look up more and see you point and say this.
Gotcha.
Come turn this mic on. Anyway, we're happy to have you tuned in this afternoon and listening here in Nashville on WFSK FM, WFSK 88.1 FM, and online at WFSKFM.org. Our 4 o'clock hour book, The Flying Cutter Bucks, and it's a new novel by Kathleen M. Rogers, and she's talking to us from her home in Texas. And Kathleen, thank you so much for your time and the very kind words that you said when we started about John Lewis and the university and, you know, Nashville and everything you said. That was just lovely. So I appreciate you giving, you know, some kudos to the things that are done here on this educational institution.
And you're welcome. And I wanted to, I don't know if you know this, but I listened to you interviewed on NPR. Scott Simon did an interview with you back, I believe it was June 6th.
It was.
And it was a brief interview, and you were awesome.
Thank you. It was brief. What he used was brief, but he and I talked for 30 minutes. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, that was, you know, I knew the whole thing wasn't going to go. It was very edited down. But the point is that I was deeply honored when NPR from New York called and wanted to talk about how our station is doing during this time and, you know, how things have changed. Oh, boy, they really changed, and how we still continue to do the things to the best of our ability that we can. And that was beautiful. And I have, if the link is not on the 401 show, SharonCase401.com, it will be up there shortly because I'm going to go freshen up, put some fresh stuff on there for people. And Kathleen, you were about to give us the scoop on the cover and the Cutterbuck's name. That doesn't, like, fall off the top of my tongue. So tell us more.
Okay, so the publisher is Wyatt McKenzie, and the book was repped by Agent Diane Nine. I love the cover. The publisher came up with the cover, and it's, you know, it's a station wagon. Remember, I'm from that era. Maybe you are, too. People had station wagons instead of minivans.
Yeah.
And this gives the illusion of a station wagon. It could either be flying through the air or it could be driving down a highway. But obviously there's clouds and there's hands reaching out. Mm-hmm. There's young, maybe a child's hand in a back window and maybe adult hands. And if I could, I would maybe, how about I read you the deal announcement that was published in Publisher's Marketplace and just gives you, So the Flying Cutterbucks was pitched as a serving of fried green tomatoes set against the backdrop of presidential elections for the Me Too and She Persists generation. The story centers on a Gold Star family of a fighter pilot missing in action in Vietnam and the women he left behind. It exposes the collateral damage of war, sexual assault, racism, elections, patriarchies, and false patriotism, while supplying the satisfaction of action, resistance, and a strong female cast fight against oppression. Mm-hmm. So, overall, Sharon, the Flying Cutterbucks explores the fierce love and loyalty of a family of women over generations.
Okay, that's what I gathered from what I read. I just want to tell you what the image first looked like to me, because I'm glad you said station wagon. The first thing I thought about...
station wagon.
Yeah, I thought about it was a plane or something, or they were on... a journey in the sky because of the clouds and the way,
yes.
I mean, that, so you said car, I thought plane. I mean, you know, that's really interesting how we both interpret, you know, I see what I see and you saw what you saw because it's your book.
Yeah. The title, The Flying Cutterbuck, in chapter 4, one of the characters says, and she's remembering the dad who's missing in action in Vietnam, who was a fighter pilot. He used to say, "We're the flying cutterbug," because aviation is also another thing. He flew fighter jets. The protagonist, Trudy Cutterbuck, she has just retired from Southwest Airlines as she started flying back in the day when they called them stewardess. So she's a retired flight attendant. And so Aviation runs through the story, too.
Okay.
And it is a military family, but Sharon, I come from a military family. My husband, my youngest son, has been to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. He's done the Army side. I'm all about military families, but giving them the spotlight into the mainstream.
Hmm.
Because our military is so important, and I would just like to say that not all military is rah-rah-ree. Mm-hmm. Let's get out there, and I can't speak for everyone.
That's true.
But the military should never be used against our own people.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're talking to the right person, because I agree with that 100%.
I know I am, and I've got goosebumps right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm an old military wife, and I'm the military mama. And, hey, can I read you the first paragraph
Yes,
of
please.
The book?
Yes, go ahead, and then I want to ask you. Then I want to ask you about tell us who the characters are, as I see several of the names pop up here.
I'm going to just read the first paragraph from chapter one, and it's Trudy Returns, and it's Pardon, New Mexico, October 2016.
Hmm.
Sister, did you hear what the Orange Cheese Puffs did? It's all over the news. Aunt Star's crotchety voice crackled from the tiny speaker of the cell phone into the stale air of Jewel Cutterbuck's cluttered living room. He was caught on tape bragging about grabbing women's lady parts.
Wow.
So that's where the story takes off.
Yes, and it sounds just like something we all have watched.
yes.
Definitely.
And watching. Yeah.
And heard and were stunned, and still to this day, 4 years in, are still stunned by it.
It's still shocking.
Yes.
And then I also had to write about Gold Star families because Gold Star families were disrespected in 2016,
yes,
the summer of 2016, the calm.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I signed with my new agent with Diane Nine early 2017, I said, Diane, this is what I want to write. And she said, go for it.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Because I think so many people could really read this and get it. And I'm glad you did say that about the military families. Because I grew up by a military base, Army. And my dad worked there and stuff. And he was in the Army. But he had done his time and came out, but we lived in the town. So it was different. The families of the military, they had their issues. These folks didn't do a lot of mixing and mingling with the town people. We ended up going to high school together, which made for an interesting combination. And I learned a lot, because those families have issues, you know, not just with someone being gone, but there's a lot of, you know, like you're talking about or writing about, relationship issues and things of that nature going on. Is that what you bring a lot of emphasis to in your book?
I think I do. You know, military families move around. What I wanted to show in the Flying Cutterbucks is I wanted to set the story down in, of all places, a small town in eastern New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a love letter to my home state, because that's where I was born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to show that here's this military family living in this civilian community. The Air Force base that had been there has been closed down for years.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show that aspect, because so many military Air Force bases and Army posts and Marine bases closed after the Persian Gulf War in, you know, 92, I'm sorry. And I wanted to show to people who aren't that familiar with military that military families are like everybody else. Whether you live on a military installation or you live in the community, you know, there's universal things. We're human.
That's true.
We all you know, have hopes and dreams. We're all, you know, mortal. We're not immortal. We're humans. And I think that's what I try to do, Sharon, all of my books, is just try to touch on universal things.
Yes.
But I'm also all about social issues and justice.
Absolutely.
Or injustice.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that your eyes are open on this. It's so important. More people's eyes begin to open or at least acknowledge, the better off we're all going to be. Now, Kathleen, name the characters, please, in the Flying Cutterbugs.
Okay, there's four main women. Trudy Cutterbuck is the narrator. She's the protagonist. Her sister, Georgia, is 2 years younger, so they're in their late 50s. And then their mother is Jewel. She is 79 when the story opens. And her sister is Aunt Star. Aunt Star is 81. And I'll just say this about Aunt Star. She's an old activist. Hmm. She has been fighting for women's rights and human rights, you know, since she was old enough. She's a retired nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out some things late in the story about Aunt Star, but, you know, Aunt Star had to hide certain things about her identity when she was, you know, working active as an active nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And through Aunt Star and being an old activist, Trudy learns to find her activism. Hmm. And then there's a fifth woman in the story named Lupi Belin.
Mm-hmm.
Lupi's Latina, a business owner in town, and it's Lupi who is really on fire as an activist, and the others, Trudy kind of finds her courage and her sister through Aunt Star, the old activist, and Lupi, a younger activist, and they, you know, when they're realizing there's oppression.
Mm-hmm.
It's January 2017. Mm-hmm. So we have the big women's march in D.C., but, you know, there were women's marches all over the world. There might have been one in Nashville. I'm not sure.
It was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I did in my book is there were sister marches everywhere, even in small little towns.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. There's a women's march in this novel. And I had a lot of fun with that. I say fun.
Yeah.
Fun may not be the right choice, but I was driven to write it.
Well, you certainly did cover a lot of key events that took place during those 4 years up to now. There's a lot here. I mean, an awful lot. Now, when you were talking about Aunt Star, is that the chapter, I think it's 24, where it's an old activist? Is that where her story develops, or is it before then?
Some of the story starts unfolding in chapter 24. We find out some of Aunt Star's secrets, but Sharon, one of the biggest secrets, I guess, although a smart reader will figure it out, but the final chapter, I don't want to give too much away, but maybe one of the most important secrets is told in the last chapter, 3 years later. But chapter 24, An Old Activist, that was not an easy chapter for me to write. Well, none of it's easy. Writing is very hard. It's hard work. I have to fight for every word, and I revise as I go. Aunt Star gave, when I found her voice and found her character, or she found me, she gave me courage to tell this story.
Wow. So that's family and friends, and where the forgiveness comes at the very, very end?
We find out at the very end what Aunt Star, one of the things that she had to keep secret.
Okay.
Well, she was, and here she was, even as a young woman out there, you know, fighting for women's rights 50-something years ago, but she had to keep a certain part of her identity secret. because of the time.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we are facing things now.
Yes.
I look at our LGBTQ community,
yes,
and they're still fighting the same stuff.
Right, right. So
the black community is still fighting the
still
same
doing,
stuff.
Still fighting the same stuff. It's like history,
yes,
history is repeating itself. Now, Kathleen, I'm out of time, but I do want you to tell the audience how they can find your latest, The Flying Cutterbucks, your other work, and just keep up with you in general, because you seem to be quite, involved. And
thank you.
You're a little activist yourself, I can tell.
Thank you. The books are out there. They're online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If people want to support their local indie,
uh-huh,
and they don't want to take the risk of going in, they can call or order online and have it shipped to them. But
okay,
the books are out there.
Okay.
Just Google The Flying Cutterbucks.
Excellent. And you have a blog or something, I think, right?
Yes, I've got a website and a blog, and you're on my blog today, Sharon.
Oh,
I've got your picture and What's the 411 logo. I hope you don't mind.
No, definitely not. Please do, by all means.
And I've got the link, I believe, to your NPR interview, and then the link to the live stream.
Yeah.
And if I don't know if you're going to, archive it, but if you our talk this hour, I'll share it.
Yeah, this is going to probably go up in the morning. Because
that is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I will reshare everywhere.
Yeah, definitely, because
I'm the promotion queen.
Oh, honey, look, that's why I love you. I love you from a distance, okay? I don't even know you. I'm like, yes.
Because
that's how it's supposed to work, but sometimes you have to tell people. And some folks already, have the machine going. So, Kathleen, I'm going to send you an email to let you know when it's up, so you can go up there and hear us today, okay?
That would be awesome, Sharon. It was such a treat to talk to you, and I would love to meet you in person one of these days.
Anytime.
As my friend Johnny Bernhardt says, when the world heals.
Yes, definitely. After the pandemic, yes, because we, have an open door policy here. So thank you so much. And I've got X, do we have our email? Okay, we got your email. So I'll be in touch with you tomorrow, Kathleen. Thank you so much, okay?
Thank you, Sharon Kay. And
okay,
you stay safe,
yes,
as
ma'am,
you can be.
You as well. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Kathleen M. Rogers. Very lovely interview and talk with her about her new novel, The Flying Cutterbucks. She really does cover a lot, y'all. I mean, seriously, and from a very, very interesting perspective, because we've been through a lot in 4 years. Lord have mercy. And anybody who says we haven't is not telling the truth. All right, the news is next, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.